Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Happy Thursday. Hopefully you're having a great week as we get ready for this weekend of ministry at your church. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to take some time to invest in your own leadership today, to put us into your earbuds and to listen in on this conversation. I'm super excited to have Tim Stevens with us today. Tim is a part of, I think your title is like team leader or something like that at Vander Blumen Search right. Group. Before that, he was in Granger, at Granger Community Church in Granger, Indiana. So I'm super excited to have Tim on the show today. Tim, welcome.
So glad to be here. Thanks for giving me a few minutes to talk to your friends and your audience.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to have you today along for the ride. So obviously you've spent a lot of time thinking about teams and leadership and that sort of thing. I wonder if you could give us kind of the Tim Stevens story, kind of who is Tim Stevens for people who don't know and kind of a bit of your background and where you are today and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I've been in ministry now for almost 30 years, but I started my career at a nonprofit organization called Life Action Ministries, and spent 9 years there and had a tremendous run there. Started attending a little just startup church when I was working there called Granger Community Church, meeting in a movie theater in South Bend, Indiana. And just was like, okay, this is weird. I've been working with churches for 9 years, but this is different. This is a church that's reaching people that I have not seen a lot of churches reach. And so very appealing to me. And was asked to come on staff. The church was about 5-6 years old. I was the fifth staff member at the time. And so meeting in a very small room around a table basically was how we did it, 300 people in the church. Did a number of things in those early years. Within a couple years, was asked to be the executive pastor. And it was just a fun ride. I was there for 11 days shy of 20 years. I don't want to exaggerate. Round numbers, 20 years. And we saw the church, you know, grow into the thousands. We were able to see significant ministry done both in the community and around the world. A lot of work that we were doing and the church still continues to do in southern India. Saw over 1,800 churches start there. And just a fun, exciting ride to be able to, you know, be a part of that. When I left, we had just early this summer, we had 129 staff members, several multi-sites, a preschool. We were doing a restaurant that was an outreach out of the church campus there to reach people during the week. And you know, just a tremendous team. Mm-hmm. But kind of God led me away from there, said kind of your season is done, your time is done, and just felt great peace about that. When I made that decision, I didn't know exactly what that meant, where I'd be going, but about 3 years prior, I had hired Vander Blumen Search Group to help us find a campus pastor, and it was a positive experience, and didn't think much about it after that, but then this summer, as I was kind of considering what the next chapter is, it just seemed like a natural fit. I get the opportunity to work with pastors and churches still, which I love. I get the opportunity to find great talent, which was one of the most favorite things I did at Granger, and I get the chance to lead a team, and so that's exciting as well. So it's a great fit. I'm all of like 3 months old here now, so still very new. I'm still very much in the honeymoon season.
So you found the bathroom in the office. That's basically what you've
I know where to park my car. Yeah, that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, nice. Well, with 100 and some odd, you know, staff on your team at Granger, and obviously with what you're doing in your day job now, you know, obviously you've spent a lot of time thinking about how do you get great people to come onto your team.
Sure.
You know, what have you done on that front? What are some of those things that, you know, we should be thinking about when we're trying to bring great people onto our teams?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that, you know, if you think about when people want to join your team, often what they do first is what? They give you a resume.
Right.
And in my work now, we see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of resumes. We get probably 400 to 500 resumes a week.
Oh my goodness, wow.
Now, resumes tend to contain your education and your job experience, mm-hmm. which are both valuable pieces of information, but in the realm of everything that I'm looking for when I hire someone, those two are probably the smallest pieces of the puzzle. And so in some cases, resumes are worthless. I actually have a chapter in my book called Resumes Are Worthless, and a little bit of an overkill, you know, attention-getting chapter title. But it kind of speaks to the fact that there's so much related to hiring staff that is beyond experience and education, and that would be character. You know, character is so huge and so important, especially when we're hiring for church ministry. We don't have time to help someone learn not to steal or learn to keep their pants zipped or learn to be honest. They have to come, you know, on staff with a certain level of that. Other things such as chemistry is huge. You know, just both chemistry slash culture fit with the church. Every church has a unique DNA. And I'm finding that more in my current role, that and it's, I think, a God-given DNA most of the time. And it's not a right or wrong. It just, it's just kind of a thumbprint. It is what it is, and it's what makes them unique. And it's so culture fits huge in chemistry with the team. You can have someone with great experience and with an amazing pedigree and who even kind of fits the culture, but you just don't love going to lunch with them. And there's, you know, the chemistry just isn't there. And so that's huge.
How do you test for, you know, kind of looping back on a couple of those things? So, you know, you're interacting with someone, you see a bunch of resumes on your desk, you know, and you're trying to figure out that both those issues, either the kind of character or culture fit. How are you trying to test for those and understand those, even on the early end, trying to make some, you know, assessments as you're weeding through those resumes?
Yeah, I think so. Two answers to that. One would be as a pastor, as I was for 20 years in a church setting, and then the second part of that would be as a search consultant helping churches find. But as a pastor, man, you've got such an advantage because you have a congregation with dozens or hundreds or thousands, depending on the size of the church, of people that you see their character, you see their fit, you know the culture. Whether they get the culture or not. And so it's really, it's an advantage that, you know, most employers, corporate employers, whatever, don't have. They don't have that advantage. They just see, you know, your best in an interview or see your best on a resume. And so, you know, I think digging into that when you're hiring someone, boy, if you can find someone, and I say this as a search consultant, but if you can hire someone from inside your church first, always the best way to do it. You know so much about their strengths and weaknesses. You've seen them lead teams. You've seen how they interact with the team. You've watched their life. You know their how they handle their marriage. You know all that stuff. And so the 129 staff we had, 123 of them had been hired from within the church. So big fan of that. The second part of that answer then is now as a search consultant. So we really dig in. One of the things that we try to do really well is dig in and understand the culture and understand exactly what it is that makes, you know, that makes when you cut that person and they bleed Harvest Church or Grace Chapel or whatever the name of the church is, what is that? What is that secret sauce that makes them who they are? And so we spend a lot of time on the front side trying to figure not only, you know, who are they, what position are they trying to fill, or what kind of person do they want, but what's the culture of that?
Interesting. All right, so let's assume for a moment that we've got this great team of people around us. They're incredible folks. We're just so glad to have them. We're building them up. They're qualified. Sure. They're making a big difference. They're, you know, kicking whatever and taking names. how do we build the kind of culture that will keep those folks? I think that's for anyone who's had you know, any size of team, that's a real issue. You know, you think about that. How do we, you know, retain the people we've got, ensure they feel super happy and fired up, and then ultimately build a kind of culture that will attract other folks?
Sure. Yeah, some quick thoughts on that, and these might seem oversimplistic just because we only have a couple minutes, but I think they're important. One thing is just creating a culture where you have fun, where it's not just all business, it's not just all transactional, it's not just all every time you're face-to-face with your staff that you're getting stuff done, but you actually are creating space to have some fun, to hang out. You know, and not just required fun, you know, the party that everyone has to go to.
Right, the Christmas party.
Yeah, exactly. But space for just for people to kind of let down and be able to, have some of that important community time together. Mm-hmm. I think another thing is, I think one of the probably most important ingredients of building culture that we did at Grainger for years and that we started doing early on is a staff meeting. And that's going to sound like, oh, well, great, everyone has a staff meeting. So it wasn't the fact that we had a staff meeting. It was right. It was the ingredients of that. And so there was two or three things that we did in that every week. Our staff meeting, and I'm talking about all staff, so everyone's in the room. Our staff meeting had nothing to do with getting stuff done. It was really a culture building hour every week. So we would spend 15 or 20 minutes together as a staff just telling stories. Where have you seen God at work in the life of the church in the last 7 to 10 days? And you know, everyone from facility care people to the leadership team to everyone in between can tell stories and can hear stories. And it just kind of breaks you out of your, you know, sometimes we get just so focused in our in a specific area. You know, we're doing students and it feels like we're the only ones doing anything and nothing else is getting done. And it just kind of breaks you out of that. And you might be in a position where you don't see as much actual fruit, like facility care, like grounds or maintenance or the receptionist or whatever. And so being able to see, oh, wait, what I'm doing is important. And just hearing that God's doing stuff, sometimes the numbers aren't great. And so it's like, if you're just looking at stats on a piece of paper, it seems like nothing's happening. But when you hear stories, then you see stuff's happening. So that kind of those kind of culture building exercises.
Did you do that meeting once a week? Did you say with everybody, like so, whole 129?
Yeah, everyone. In fact, even our part-time people that might be 10 hours a week, as much as possible. We said we want you to orient an hour of your week for the staff meeting. We did it on Wednesdays, middle of the day, 11:30 in the morning, and tended to have 80% plus participation. And it was a, you know, if you're in town, this is kind of what we do on Wednesdays at 11:30.
Interesting. Wow, that's amazing. I think a lot of churches have a hard time getting, a lot smaller churches have a hard time getting people together once a month, let alone once a week. So that's, you know, that's incredible. Anything else on the kind of staff culture front you'd say? Some important stuff to kind of wrestle through?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. If you're one of the ones in leadership, you have a team, whether you're the lead pastor or you have your director that has a team, a couple things there. I'd say one would be giving authority with responsibility. A lot of times what we tend to do is give responsibility, but they have to keep coming back to us for the answers. So they have, you know, they have a certain amount of authority, but not enough really to do their jobs. And that's okay if you want to attract a team that isn't a high, that where you don't have a team full of high capacity leaders. If you want like really strong, get it done leaders that will really move the mission and the vision forward with you and really shake the kingdom, then they're those kind of leaders, they want to be able to make decisions and to have authority and to get stuff done. It's not a power play or power grab. It's just how God's wired them. And a lot of times when, and especially like a church that's small growing towards mid-sized will struggle with this, where it's just really hard because one person has been in charge for a long time and now it's starting to grow and you're starting to give responsibility away, and that's very difficult. And so I would just recommend to find great leaders and then let them, you know, let them lead. You're not letting them lead from day one because you're wanting to grow them up into the culture of the church, and especially if you've hired them from outside, but ultimately to hand that off. And the other thing I would say related to that and leading a team, as the leader, everyone's looking to you for the answers. But don't walk around giving people answers. I think the best leaders are walking around asking questions.
Right,
and
so true.
Constantly desiring to learn. And not assuming they're the smartest person in the room. In fact, assuming the opposite. Assuming that there are people smarter than them in given topics than they are. And so constantly desiring to learn. And you will gain, it's counterintuitive because if you ask a lot of questions, you think that they will think I don't know anything. And you will think then that I will lose my position or my place for leadership, and the opposite actually happens. People respect you when you respect them, and their opinion grows, and your stature grows because you're willing to listen and you're willing to learn.
Nice. Well, you've got a book coming out in January. I actually pre-ordered it right before we started the conversation here on Amazon. So Fairness is Overrated and 51 Other Leadership Principles to Revolutionize Your Workplace. So now, what is this about? Give us kind of the insight onto why you wrote this book.
So this is kind of a book just to kind of boil down my thoughts and philosophy of leadership. Mm-hmm. So it comes from probably, my most recent 5 or 10 years at Grainger. Mm-hmm. And my experience there in leading the team there and leading the ministry through growth there with the rest of the team. And so I kind of boil it down into 4 segments. The first segment is on being a leader worth following, mm-hmm. all about kind of integrity and the stuff that needs to be a foundation of our personal lives in order to be strong leaders. The second is on building a great team. How do you find staff, some on hiring, some on firing, some on conflict navigation. The third segment's on building a great culture. Mm. And once you have the great team, how do you maintain the great team and build the culture? And then the fourth segment is on leading through crisis or transition or leading through great change. Most leaders, if you think of any great leader in history, you probably can think of their leadership through some transition that they led through.
So true. Yep.
So 99 days out of 100, maybe in the church it's only 89 days out of 100, are pretty normal. But you'll have 10 days, 10% of the time, where you've got something you've got to lead through, and it just requires what's already been built in your life and what's already true about you to be able to lead through that with strength. And so the book is focused equal parts towards pastors and church leaders and Christian leaders in the marketplace.
Very cool.
I've really tried to balance that equally because so much of it's transferable from marketplace to church leadership.
Nice. Well, I'd encourage people listening in to get a chance to order it. Tim's one of those guys I trust. Look forward to reading it and look forward to hearing what you have to say and learning from that. Just one last question before we jump into the lightning round. I love the fact that you're, because you've been such an advocate for, and you mentioned it earlier. I wasn't going to say it, but you mentioned it, how so many of your staff at Grainger were internal rather than external. And now you're working for a search organization. Has that created internal tension in your own world or no?
That's a great question. It really hasn't. So my experience when I hired Vander Blumen was we had someone internally we were looking at. And so Vander Blumen came alongside of us and said, we'll help you determine if this person is the right for your position and we'll bring others. And there's no skin in the game as far as, when we come alongside a church, whether they hire someone from inside or outside doesn't matter to us at all as long as we can help them find the right person for that job. So a lot of times what pastors and leaders have a hard time, and I had a hard time of this, is Sundays are so regular.
That's so true.
And for any level of staff, you got things that are just happening. So one, you don't typically have the training to hire. Mm-hmm. You're not trained as a personnel recruiter or whatever. So there's that. And then secondly, you just don't have the time that it requires to focus, and you don't have the margin to get it wrong.
Right.
And any of us who have hired someone and got it wrong, and we know the months, sometimes you might be a couple years that you lose in that process. And so we just like to come alongside pastors and help kind of take that burden off their plate. And if they have some internal candidates they want us to look at, totally will. And some churches will hire internal candidates after we've gone through a process, and some will hire external ones that we can find.
Very cool. Yeah, we've been through that pain of, that was the wrong hire for sure.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round. This is the part of the show where we ask similar questions of everyone who's on the show today. Super excited to have Tim Stevens with us, a great leader, one of those folks you should take some time to listen in on and follow. So, Tim, what's an online resource that you're using these days that's just been particularly helpful for you?
Yeah, so one new one that I've just started using, it's called Wunderlist, Wundrlist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use it personally. It's just basically a to-do list that can be synced across devices and synced with your team.
Nice.
So use it for both personally, various lists, as well as with our leadership team. That's how we establish our agendas for our weekly leadership meetings. Mm-hmm. We just all can add things to the wonder list, and then we sit there Friday mornings and go through it.
Cool. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months to a year that's had an impact on your thinking?
So one I read recently, it's called The New Gold Standard, and it's the story of the Ritz-Carlton.
Yep.
Not necessarily the story, more some background to how they service guests. And I just think any church leader or business owner, it'd be a great book to read because kind of how they think about their guests and how they think about their staff. It just kind of takes it to a new level.
Well, I think you're the third person to mention that book, so I guess I got to get it on my list. So
you better get it on the list. Add it to your wonder list.
Yeah, exactly. Is there another ministry that you're looking to these days that you're finding particularly inspiring?
You know, one cool thing about my job now is I get to work with a ton of churches.
Yeah,
and
that
so
is cool.
It seems like, and many churches outside of circles that I've typically ran in. And so that's pretty fun and pretty cool. And honestly, I come away inspired by something at every church I visit. Recently, at a smaller United Church of Christ church in the New York City area, that was very encouraging. We're working with Harvest Church in Billings, Montana. Very encouraging. Crossroads Grace in Manteca, California. So, yes, I'm inspired by specifically local churches of all sizes. It's very cool to see what God's doing through local churches.
Very cool. All right, if you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive today, pick their brain, get to know, learn from them a little bit, who would that be and why?
Do you know, I think George W. Bush.
Nice.
There's plenty about his leadership or his decisions that I agreed with and disagreed with, but he seemed to be a leader who was always very confident in direction and very unmoved by what people thought. And I remember him saying, you know, several times when he would be interviewed, he would just say, you know, history will determine that. That's not up to me. And it's almost as though, you know, I'm making decisions. I'm making the best ones I can. We'll figure out, you know, in the future whether they were the right or the wrong decisions. And I just really kind of respect that confidence and that stability. I'd love to pick his brain about that.
Absolutely. Very cool.
Now that I live in Texas, I'm closer to him, so who knows?
Exactly. Maybe you'll run into him one day.
Maybe I'll run into him.
Great. Well, when you're not out helping churches find great leaders or help them build great teams, what do you do for fun just to kind of kick back in your own personal life? How do you relax?
I love to play tennis.
Oh, nice.
And that's I've gotten back into that the last 2 years. I love anything. I love home projects, you know, the handyman projects, building stuff. I will around here. I'm in Houston while my family's still in Indiana here for the next little while. So I got some free time in the evenings. I'll just walk through houses under construction. I just love the smell of lumber. I love to walk through a Home Depot, just walk the aisles. It's very invigorating for me.
Oh, gosh, I respect that. We redid our kitchen, or I should say this. I had a friend of mine redo our kitchen this spring, and so my job was the go to Home Depot guy.
Okay.
Go and get this. Go and get this. And I'm just all thumbs when I go in there. It's all foreign to me. So, Tim, I really appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with Vanderblumen, or, you know, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with your organization?
Yeah. So I blog at leadingsmart.com. And so that's a great way to tune in. My email's on there as well. But also an easy way to get me is tim@leadingsmart.com. That's
great.
Easier to spell than Vanderblumen. So,
yeah, definitely.
And Twitter at Tim A. Stevens. Tim A. Stevens.
Perfect. Well, that's great. Thank you so much. We'll link to the Fairness is Overrated book as well on the show notes. So thank you so much for being here today, and just really appreciate you sharing with us.
Awesome. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.